We are those who died with sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You know, Paul, like Edmund, is just kind of incredulous. He's saying, in effect, what in the world are you talking about? How in the world did you ever come to such a conclusion? You now belong to Jesus. Paul calls us to remember our baptism, which has, in a sense, sealed your new identity. You might not have an S on your chest, you might not have an I, but you have the mark of water to signify that just as Jesus died, you also died. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you too have been raised from the death, and you now have new life. That's who you are. You belong to Jesus. You identify with Jesus. What is Jesus all about? He's the one who died and rose again for you. That's whom you belong to. That's your new identity. Now, that's who we are, but what does this now mean that we have this new identity? Here's what this means. Verse 5 through 7, Paul elaborates and shows us by faith we are united with him, both in his death and resurrection. We are united with him, both his death and resurrection. What does this mean? His crucifixion means that our old self, our old life, died with him. You used to live, act, breathe out of your old identity. You used to do whatever you wanted to do. You did whatever pleased you. You did whatever you saw fit in your mind. But that's your old self now. But through the cross, that identity has been done away with. It's been tossed aside. And because of that, you are no longer slaves to that identity. Before, that old identity had complete authority over you. There was one analogy, I forgot where I got it from, but there's this one military guy who worked, who served in the military for many, many years, and he was used to having somebody being in authority. And he was used to responding to that authority figure over him. And so it was like, it was just instinctual. Once the minute their superior said something, they did it. Once the drill sergeant said to do this, that's what they needed to do. And so he shares about the day he got discharged. And that means that he's not part of the army anymore. He's a civilian. He has a new identity. And so as he was walking out of the office, of the discharge office, he's walking around, he heard drill sergeants outside shouting orders. And the first instinct within him is like, you know what? I got to follow those orders. But a light kind of flashed in his head. Wait a second. That person doesn't have authority over me anymore. I'm actually free. I don't have to listen to what this guy is saying anymore. That's the new identity we have. That's what we have to understand, that that old self has a master, and that master is ruthless. And because of Christ and what he did for you and me, that old self, that old master died with Jesus. And now we are raised into new life and we've been given a new master, a new identity. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now here's the second part that sometimes we often miss. Not only are we united with Christ in his death, that old self, that old master has died, but we oftentimes miss a second part in terms of that we're united with Christ in his resurrection. If we look at verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ is raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Paul assures us the resurrection is the real deal. Unlike Lazarus, the only one of the people in the Bible who is resurrected, here's the thing, he died again, right? But Jesus cannot die again, and death has no mastery over him. And just as Jesus died for your sin once and for all, he lives. He's resurrection. He lives unto God. That's why he rose again. And here's what we need to understand. Yes, we died to the old self, not so that we can be free to do whatever, but now we are free to live for God through Jesus. We get to do the very thing we were created to do. We get to be freed in order to be free to live for God. We're freed to love Him, to love people, to love His purposes. That's why He came to save us, so that we can live for Him and through Him. There's a guy named Richard Gaffin who says this, that ultimately, in the deepest sense, for Paul, our good works, any good works that we do for Him is not ours, but God's. They're the work begun and continuing in us. And so that's what we have to understand, that His resurrection means this, that you know what, we get to live our lives in and through Him. And just as Jesus resurrected, just as He resurrected, we too are resurrected, and He lives in us, and we live vicariously through Him, in a sense. So all our good works in response to the gospel is ultimately God's works. It is God doing that good thing in your life. Now, that's what we need to understand. We're united both in His death and His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, how many of you guys, you know, maybe you got the first part down, but the second part, you kind of, I don't really understand how that works. Or maybe you don't have to know how the first part works either. But those two things are critical. That's the rhythm of the Christian life. Dying to your old self, embracing that new thing that God is doing in and through you. Now, how does this work? What does this look like in reality? I it's kind of weird to take the application right out of The Incredibles, but I think it's scriptural. You know, Edna Mode, in the midst of, you know, speaking into Helen's life, she says, confront the problem, fight, and win, right? In other words, we still have that old identity within us. There's still that instinct, that twitch, you know, just like that drill sergeant who shout out orders, and we feel like, oh, we need to respond to that. You know, that happens to us, doesn't it? The old voices in our head kind of beckoning to kind of indulge in the sin that we used to sin. Right? And sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we live out of our identity, don't we? I know I do oftentimes. We just kind of, for whatever reason, we just start to just think dark thoughts and start to go down that road. And so what Paul's saying, is saying this. He said, we need to confront that. We need to confront that. And we need to fight that. And so Paul says this, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. Now, what I want you guys to do is this, is that as we look at this passage, let's everybody take a look at verse 11, okay? Let's play Mad Libs a little bit, okay? Do you guys know what Mad Libs is? It's kind of this fill-in-the-blank thing. You have to replace it with a noun, verb, or whatever. But when it says, verse 11, it says, count yourselves dead to sin, I want you to put a blank there and think of a sin that you are currently wrestling with and struggling with right now. All right? Really, literally, think of it right now. Okay? What's that one thing that just constantly plagues you, that constantly trips you up, that constantly just kind of resurfaces in the worst possible time? What is that for you? And I want you to, in your own mind, say what is true here. In verse 11, it says this, what? In the same way, count yourselves dead to blank. What is that blank? Is it envy? Is it lust? Is it greed? Is it just self-pity? What is that blank? Count yourselves dead to blank, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Right? But alive to Christ Jesus. Verse 12, therefore do not let blank reign in your mortal body so you obey its evil desires. Do not offer your parts of the body to that, what is that thing? That blank. As instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. What is Paul doing here? He's saying, again, you need to confront the problem. Fight. Win. Why? Because you're strong? No, you fight because Jesus has already fought already and won. Knowing that Jesus has got your back and lives in you, you fight that blank, whatever it is in your life. You look sin straight in the eye and said, you know what? You're dead to me, sin. whatever that is. Even though it had prior power over you, you stare at it because through the cross, I can count that sin dead. And you have to do that all the time. You have to say, you are dead to me, sin. You are dead to me, lust, envy, jealousy, whatever you struggle with. And also at the same time, you say, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, you know what? I'm alive to God now. I'm alive now because of what Jesus Christ did for me. That he rose again, and because he rose again, I rose again. And he gave me the Spirit to testify that that is true. You look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm alive in Christ. So whatever habitual sin, thoughts, patterns that are informing who you are, you have to fight it. You have to put it to death. Don't let it reign in your mind. If you feel kind of despondent and depressed because of your sin, you just like, you have to fight it. Lord, help me. Sometimes you have to cry out sometimes, all right? You have to cry out. You can disregard at this point. You need to cry out to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need you so much. Ask the Holy Spirit, flood my heart with truth. Flood my heart with what is true in your word, your great love and grace for me. And sometimes you just really literally need to shout it out because that's just how desperate we can be. Don't let those thoughts captivate you. Don't let those thoughts, just like that drill sergeant that constantly says, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. You can say, you know what? I don't have to do any of those things anymore. Because now I have the Spirit. And now, through the Holy Spirit, I have the mind of Christ. You've been given, the word says, the spirit of sonship that cries, Abba, Father. That all that is Christ is now yours. That's the good news of the gospel, brothers and sisters. You know, when I, several months ago, you all know that I went to this pastoral mentoring group called Scrubs. It's kind of interesting, a bunch of pastors that were called Scrubs, that's our identity. One of the exercises they asked us to do is one of the questions they asked, and it's a very probing question, they asked us, well, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you kind of mess up? I had to think about that for a second because there are a lot of things that crossed my mind. But the one thing that resonates in my very being, and there's a lot of reasons why this is, and there's a lot of reasons why, you know, certain things resonate in your own mind. But the thing that resonated in my own heart every single time I failed or every time I screwed up was this: you're an idiot, you're incompetent. And that's kind of the way I see myself. You're an incompetent, you're an idiot. What the heck are you doing? Why would you do something like this? And so I thought about this. Yeah, every single time I screw up, that's what runs through my mind. It's kind of this tape recorder, that drill sergeant, that just kind of tells you, what the heck are you doing? You're an idiot. You're incompetent, right? So if I were to ask the same question for you, what is in your mind when you screw up, when you fail? Yeah, I mean, we all do. But the thing is that voice in your head, you know, wants to drive it down even deeper into your soul. Say, that's who you are. That's your identity. Whatever that blank is, right? And again, we have to come back to the gospel and say, you know what? Now, in light of Christ, who are we? We belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, we don't have to settle for those thoughts. It doesn't have to be audible. You just have this sinking feeling, right? But instead of just letting it trickle through because that's just kind of how we always think, we fight that. We recognize that, you know what? As a child of God, as one who belongs to the great God, our Father, that's not how he thinks of us. When we screw up, he doesn't say, Ken, you're incompetent. You're an idiot. He doesn't say that. And I don't know what that blank is for you, all right? But believe me, he doesn't think those things. Why? Because of the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, the one who gave us a new identity, and now we belong to him. We are sons and daughters of the living God. So when he sees us as precious children. He sees us as if he sees Jesus. That's our new identity. That's who we are. And we don't have to settle for you're an idiot. We can renew our minds and fight that and say, you know what? I'm not an idiot. I'm the precious son of the King. I'm his beloved. And so, brothers and sisters, confront the problem. Fight. Win. Offer yourselves to God. It says here that we're supposed to do all these things, and in lieu of that, offer yourselves to God for his purposes, for his will and pleasure. Start loving people. Start serving others. Offer every part to him as instruments of righteousness, because you were resurrected and made alive to God, for God, okay? Be who you are. You are his. Fight. Win. It's now in your blood and veins, because Christ's blood is now pumping in you and making you like him. Got to believe that. And we need each other to remind ourselves of that. We need baptisms to remind us of this new seal, of this new identity. We need communion, in which we're going to be taking in a few moments, again, to remind us of that reality. So let's respond. Let's pray.